D-Mace Bingen and Donick 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will join us as soon as he can. He's traveling with the Predators, who are in South Florida, taking on the Panthers tomorrow. But let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. And speaking of the Predators, Clark, you were apparently the good luck charm for the Predators last night. You read the starting lineup. They scored 5 goals.
Well, I'd like to take credit for that, but I think that's Bruno and his team and the boys showing up to play. It was fun. That was our first game of the season to get to, and they showed up. It was a fun night. A bunch of young guys contributing, and always good to spend a little time with the team before the game.
Clark, we will get to the college football playoff rankings in just a moment, but I do want to start on the major news involving your program, the signing of Jared Curtis. He's the program's first ever 5-star signee, decommitting from Georgia and joining your program. Now that this is official, I would love for you to take us behind the scenes on how you were able to land Jared Curtis. I know Diego Pavia played a hand in it. I guess you could say Nate Bargatze played a hand in it as well. He made a personal pitch on College Game Day a few weeks ago. But now that Jared Curtis, is a part of your program, how were you able to pull this off?
Well, I honestly, to say that anyone impacted this beyond Jared and what his vision for his future was, I think is to play a little bit in the narrative. Obviously, Diego has set a course of what's possible at that position in our program, and I think he's also proven the system to be really effective for a talented quarterback. So I think those are really positive things. But Jared is a guy that thinks for himself. He's a guy that has strength of personality that way. He believes in himself. He's got the right attitude for our program. He's got an underdog's mentality. He's a chip on the shoulder guy, and you know, he quietly reached out about a month ago and wanted to spend time around us, and you know, came over on an afternoon where we had a chance to spend some time and was with our offensive staff. And I honestly just over that month just kept paying attention, kind of kept showing up quietly, spending time with our players and observing our program and watching on Saturdays. And I think he was inspired by what he saw. I think he sees himself as a fit for us, and he's got a deep belief in what his potential is. And like I said, he's got strength of personality. He's going to make a decision independent of what anyone else thinks. Those are all things that will lead someone to Vanderbilt football, because that's who we are. And, you know, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited that he felt that connected to what we're building. I'm excited that he sees a vision for himself and how he can play a role in taking us to another level. And I'm anxious to get to work with him and find out where he is so we can help progress him so that he can help us as quickly as he's able. But certainly a great statement about our program, the momentum we've built, the success we've grown into, and also a statement about where we want this thing to go.
Clark, I know that you have been neck deep in materials, learning about what the College Football Playoff Committee looks for in a playoff team. I know that you've been campaigning. Diego Pavia has been campaigning. I particularly like the 2-page document with all of the numbers on it. That was right up my alley in terms of making the Commodores' case for inclusion in the College Football Playoff. But once again, the committee has your program ranked 14th. I believe this is the third consecutive week that you're at 14th, despite the big win at Tennessee. So let me ask you this. What have you learned about the College Football Playoff Committee's priorities based on how it has rated your program over the past few weeks?
I think one of my greatest frustrations is I don't know. I can't understand the process. I can't understand what they are processing. And so what I can't understand, I can't get behind. You know, I could accept being on the outside looking in if I knew exactly what the standards were, but it just seems so subjective and it just seems so conditional. And it's frustrating because I've got a team that deserves an opportunity to fight for a national championship. And part of this, you know, has to do more with what our system for selection is. So there's a part of this that I think we need to take a real step back here and rethink, you know, competitively how we select the teams into the tournament. And so that's independent of criticism of the committee. But the other side of this is feeling like this is way too human driven. It's way too emotional. And I just don't, I don't trust it. And that's a frustrating feeling for a coach that has a team that, you know, has fought for the right to play for a national championship. And ultimately, all the dust will settle on Sunday and we'll figure out where we finish, and whatever is put in front of us, we're going to attack. But the experience of not really understanding what is motivating these moves and feeling like the goalposts are constantly moving, that's been really frustrating. And I think something we really need to give some attention to this offseason.
One of the comments, to your point, Clark, one of the comments the CFP chair made when asked about Vanderbilt yesterday is, well, they don't have any signature wins. But part of the reason why is you went to Tennessee, who was ranked in the CFP poll last week. You won by 3 scores, and now they're out of the CFP rankings, and it seems like you're being penalized for that. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, of course I do. Not only that, I think Tennessee's penalized for the fact that they lost to Vanderbilt. And this has to do with, I believe, some embedded bias, even in the way the computers are working through our lines for the games. And we were an underdog in that game by 2.5 points. We won by 21. So what does that tell you about what the computer system that's driving those lines thinks about our program? We're being undervalued in that process. And I'm not going to pretend to know all that goes into that, because, you know, I'm learning about a lot right now. But obviously, there's a flaw there. There's something off that we would be underdogs by 2.5 points, that we'd win by 21. And so what I think happens in that moment is, well, it must be Tennessee's problem. That's a really good Tennessee team. And if you look back when Oklahoma won by 6 points in Knoxville, they moved up something like 7 slots in the AP poll. When we won by 21 points in the same stadium against the same team, we're downgraded by a slot in the AP poll. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And no one can explain that to me in a way that makes sense. The other part of this too is when you look at our schedule, at the time we played the teams we played, we had 4 teams that we competed against that were ranked in the top 15. You know, and it just so happened that after losing to us, they plummet. Well, again, we don't control that. But at the time that we played those teams, they were perceived to be top 15 teams. And so it just seems to be kind of a almost convenient to count us out because of those factors that we don't control, rather than to say, hey, this is a team that's earned the right to be in. And I think if it were blind resumes, I don't think there'd be any question. We would be in the tournament and we'd be rolling.
We're talking with Vanderbilt's head football coach, Clark Lee, coming off of a 45-24 victory over the Volunteers. Now, Coach, I'm sure there's nothing that anyone can say to you or your team to sort of, you know, take away the frustration you have. Because if you look at
it. Well, D-Mace, that's not necessarily true. You could say, tell me we're in and I'd be happy.
Oh, yeah. Other than saying you're in,
I think, right.
I don't think there's anything. Because you guys had a tremendous season. And you did exactly what you were supposed to do, but you're getting penalized for it. And I remember, you know, many years before the playoff even got this big, when, you know, it was just 2 or 4 teams and the metrics was used. And people said, well, no, don't use the computer. Let's use humans and let's form this committee. Should we go back to using more of the computer? Because it seems like now that the field is bigger, maybe using the computer is a little bit better than sort of each and every week the committee members coming in, and it may be more biased than anything.
Well, I'm going to answer this in a biased way. I saw a graphic of what the BCS computer would have projected, and I think we were 12th or 11th or something like that. So I'm all for the computers now. No, you bring up a good point. And truthfully, I mean, I'm frustrated. What I'm living through right now is an imperfect process that's evolving in real time. That's all. What we are doing is changing our sport as we live through it. And there's always going to be inconveniences that way. But right now, my responsibility is to fight for a team that I believe in. And, you know, if anything, this experience has brought clarity to me as to where those flaws are. And I'm really anxious to help support plans to reform and to create something that ultimately gets the from a competitive standpoint, the best 12 or the best 16 teams in a tournament to play against one another. So we can determine a national champion, and it makes sense. Let's stop trying to manufacture balance. Let's stop trying to manufacture fairness. Let's stop trying to manufacture Cinderella stories. And let's let the teams that played the hardest schedule, that won the most games, have an opportunity to prove their mettle in the tournament. That's the goal right now. It feels like we're not quite hitting the mark, and we need to put a lot of attention to this in the offseason.
Now, should they really take a close look at this? Because the landscape of college football has changed, and we all know it. But it seems like a lot of people are still operating from the old way it used to be. Now that these young men and women are able to transfer, now that they're getting paid, the landscape across college has changed. Why should they look more at that in the offseason than probably more so of the brand bias?
Well, I think that's one end of it, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's the brands don't necessarily have the best teams. And so, sometimes the brands have the most fans. And unfortunately, I think that is a motivator sometimes in these conversations. But at the end of the day, there's room for a disruptor in this, and that's what we are. We're an aggressive disruptor that is young, hungry, and agile, and we're taking ground every day. On the other end of that too, I think what you're seeing is less likely a chance that there's a contender that rises from a non Power Four conference. And that's not, look, I want to stop short of saying that there never could be, but I think it's there's been kind of just an overall elevation of the talent in the country to a few conferences, most specifically the SEC and the Big Ten. And so there needs to be, in a fair way, a representation of that actually distributes the slots in this playoff in a manner that represents what the top teams in the country are. If I get frustrated by anything right now, it's the fact that, we could take a ACC champion into this tournament that has, multiple losses that doesn't deserve the right to be in it. And, look, if they get the chance, then, good for them. But, at the end of the day, I don't think that's right. Same thing with, a group of five champion that hasn't proven it against the best teams and the toughest schedules. I just don't think it makes any sense anymore. And I think we need to reevaluate that and not eliminate the possibility of, mm-hmm. of one of those teams playing their way into the top 16 or the top 12, but let's stop with this business of creating automatic spots for teams that haven't earned the right to be there.
Now, I know the season is not done for you guys. You still got football left, but the regular season is done. What specifically does this team mean to the program moving forward? Because you talked about, and we all know, and it's been a topic of discussion the last 2 days, Jared Curtis flipping from Georgia to Vanderbilt because he envisions himself in this offense, in this program, helping to continue to uplift this program. And then you have a guy in Diego Pavia who's, in my opinion, should win the Heisman, but he will be hopefully in New York. When you look at all this, what did this specific team mean to the program moving forward?
Oh, it's hard to quantify. I think this is a legacy team. I think that every line that we trace back from a perch of sustained success and championship level performance, every line will point back to this team and really to last year's team too. I think there's been just so much ground covered, so much progress made, and it's a testament to this group of players and this staff kind of binding together to do something that no one thought was possible except for those from within. And so I want this team honored in the right way. I want to send this team off in the right way. I'm excited about award season for this team. I think that we should be in the near future bringing home a Heisman Trophy for our building. I just got to figure out where it goes because I don't have a Heisman Trophy slot. But I'll tell you, in the new building we're building, I'm going to make sure the trophy case is big enough to handle all this type of success and more. this team has done so much to reset the standards and to just really change perception. And it's our job to honor their efforts by taking this progress and pulling it forward into next season.
We're talking to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach here on 102.5 The Game. Clark, I just arrived in the team hotel down here in South Florida, and Andrew Burnett, as we were getting our hotel keys, said, "Can you be here tomorrow night at 6:30? Because you're 1-0 announcing the starting lineup to the guys in the locker room." So what's your schedule looking like?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm making that one. But look, you said y'all are in South Florida, is that right?
Yeah, we're in Sunrise right now. Well, Fort Lauderdale right now.
It's about 30 degrees outside here, so I may actually be able to fit
that in. It's tempting, isn't it?
Yeah. And Willie, I'm glad you made the call, because I wanted to talk about this ratings boost you guys experienced last night when all of a sudden I got on the TV.
Yes. Well, and Clark, I do want to thank you because, you know, you guys, the news was fresh, right? People were texting me. We were getting ready to go on the air, and, of course, you know, the guys on the show were texting me. Other people were going, you know, dang, you know, look at their 14th, et cetera. So you're absorbing that in real time, and now you're going in and announcing the starting five. For those that don't know, Clark went into the Predators locker room, and, you know, they on occasion will bring a special guest in to announce to the team who's starting on the ice, and Clark was nice enough to do that. I don't know, what was it, Clark, 30 minutes, 15 minutes after you found out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Willie, I was pulling into the, like, I was pulling into the loading dock down there when Jared called me. So I'm like, and you know, we had kind of, it wasn't a surprise, but I actually took the call as I was pulling in, which was really cool. And it gave a little energy boost to me as I was watching the game.
Well, that's great. And, you know, so you do that, then you did the interview with us. So we certainly appreciate it. And the Predators went on to win. I want to ask you just a couple more things about this whole process here. You guys did what you really had to do because of what had happened in the weeks leading up. I think you knew that you needed the committee to look at you through a different prism, especially after finishing off with the big win against Tennessee. And you put out some really hard-worked information, or I don't know what the right word is. You really scrutinized with a lot of layers to present information that may not have been easy to see before. Do you think the committee really looked through that and gave it what it deserved, right? As a member of a committee trying to get all the information possible, did you get that feeling that they really looked at it close?
No, I mean, I you know, I don't, and I want to be careful, because I want to be respectful of people that are trying to do their jobs, and it's a hard job. I don't think there's a world where you're considering all the things that make this team what it is. And you know, look, they moved Utah behind us, then moved Texas in front of us. It just, you got a three loss team now ahead of us in the standings, because head to head matchups matter in that situation, but not when it comes down to Notre Dame and Miami. There's so much inconsistency in the way that they're approaching this process. And that's what's really frustrating to me. And it's human, right? And that's, I think that's what happens when you're talking about, you know, human nature and subjectivity. It's going to be imperfect, but it's negatively impacting a team that I care a lot about, a team that I believe has earned the right to be in it. And I can't imagine that they're taking this new information in and considering it, because it did nothing to strengthen, you know, our position in the tournament.
This is a what if question that I don't know if we'll ever find out the answer to, because this is how they do it. It's for TV. But I'm curious how the process would be different if the committee today for the first time met and said, for the next 3 days, now we know everybody's played 12 games, nobody's talked to anybody, but we've done our own research, we'll see what happens with the championship games, but let's now for the first time rank teams. I wonder how it would change, as opposed to the week-to-week climb, or whatever you call this. Do you think it would be different?
I think that's an excellent idea, Willie, and I think you just may have solved everything in that thought. And
who do I need to call?
I mean, what they've done is they've created TV time that obviously matters to you know, invested parties, but it also has created the moving goalpost thing that I referenced earlier, where it seems like every week there's a new set of reasons or standards or expectations. And I think locking the door for 3 days and hashing through it and using the numbers and getting it right, I think that is a way cleaner process than playing this out over the course of however many weeks, 6 weeks or whatever it is, 4 weeks, which again is sloppy and because those polls are ever changing, then the playoff picture is ever changing. One thing I've referenced earlier too is this idea that after beating Tennessee, Oklahoma improved in the polls by 7 spots, and then after we beat, they won by 6 points, we beat Tennessee by 21 points, and we actually fell in the AP poll. And I think what you're seeing is those polls are taking form around the playoff picture. So, you know, it all kind of works to influence the other entities. I think if you just let those things breathe on their own and let those form around the strength of performance of each team, I think then you're going to have a clearer picture of where the best teams in the country exist. And I think that gives our team the best chance. The other thing I'd like to see them do is work blind resumes into it, because that also is a way to ensure that you're eliminating human bias as best you can. I mean, at the end of the day, we have former coaches, we have ADs of current programs that are involved in this. And so it's hard, just like, you know, I think the perfect solution, Willie, is probably just let me select all the teams, you know, then then I won't have any complaints, you know, but
right.
we're human. We have bias. I think how do we best eliminate that? Your idea of punting all the selection into kind of 3 days postseason is a great idea. I think making it blind and just looking at the resumes for what they are, give us the best chance to get the 12 best teams in.
Last thing, Clark, just for perspective, right? Everybody's a little down today. They'll get back up and appreciate what you guys have done. But I want to take you back 2 years, right? And I can remember being at a practice with you before that season started. But your satisfaction level, the answer is obvious, but could you have envisioned going from where you were 2 years ago at the end of the season to where you are now?
Willie, was that the practice where you were questioning every play call and you were saying, why?
There were a lot of cranes and there was a lot of construction. It took me a while to get to the field. But so much has changed in those 2 years, I guess, is what I'm getting at. It's just amazing to see what has happened.
No, it is. I'm joking. I was trying to get you to go into Coach Willie Miller.
No, I wasn't trying to get you to run the eye bone or anything like that. I don't think I had anything that radical.
Hey, Clark, just so you know, I have banned Coach Willie from the program. After the end of the regular season, he has been banned from the program.
That's okay. Well, that's good to know. You guys, I'm on the team, so I need to know these things. I think Willie, I first of all, I appreciate the question. I'm very proud of the pivot we made after that 23 season. I look back on that as like obviously a critical inflection point in our program. And yet there was some real clarity around kind of the course we needed ahead and the fact that we had deviated a little bit, or maybe we hadn't adjusted and adapted fast enough. But there was never a point where I didn't feel like this was where we were headed. You know, there was never a point where I put limitations on what I thought this could become. But I will tell you, man, I am very happy to be where we are, and I'm grateful for it, because once you've lived through the hard parts of this, you kind of learn how to celebrate the fun parts of it. And that's, you know, today, what a celebration today was. Not only did we have a class of players that we believed in already committed, but the fact that we were able to turn 2 local players committed to SEC rivals into Commodores. I mean, what an amazing statement about where we're headed. And there's a lot of important work out of us. But again, that's the fun part. We're going to get a chance to pull this program into sustainability and to take it further. I'm not going to place limitations on what that looks like either. You know, we're heading that way. I know it's going to be hard. I know there are going to be challenges along the way, but I'm super excited about the climb ahead. And I'm grateful to be able to be on this journey.
Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lea has been our guest on D. Maysvangen and Donicky. Joins us every week during college football season. Clark, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Clark had to say. You can as well at 615-737-1025. Let's try to solve all the world's problems and figure out how the CFP selection process can be rectified. based on what we heard from Clark Lee. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. Gang's all here. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. Always a pleasure to catch up with Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. And you heard Clark there, passionate about his team, of course, and he feels that Vanderbilt is getting a raw deal. And I can't say I disagree. And you guys weren't here for this, so I want to say it again so that the two of you hear it, okay? The fact that 7-5 Duke is technically alive and 10-2 Vanderbilt isn't is dumb. And that's coming from me, the guy with the Durham-inspired tattoo on his leg. I just want the two of you to hear that because you weren't here when I said it earlier. The fact that Duke at 7-5 and somehow in the ACC title game is still alive and Vanderbilt isn't just makes zero sense to me. None.
And that's what, you know, that's what Clark is frustrated about. And I think that's what a lot of Vanderbilt fans, or hell, maybe all of them, are frustrated about. Is this, well, it works for one team, but it doesn't work for Vandy. When, if you've watched Vandy play, you know they are a damn good football team. And you look at their losses, whether it be in Texas or Alabama, it's not like they lost to a team outside the top 25. They lost to two teams that are considered powerhouses. Now, Texas season didn't end up the way they thought it was. Thought it would end up, but yet still, they still had an opportunity, or maybe still, I don't know, of making a college football playoff. They still were in the talks, even after two losses, they still were in the talks of making a college football playoffs last week. And Vandy, with two losses, was completely out of it. And nobody wanted it would have taken, like Mitch said yesterday, aliens coming down and abducting two teams and taking them away, and then yes. Vandy slides. And then I think they would be sort of apprehensive of that, saying, hey, the aliens may bring them back, so don't worry about it. They may bring them back before the title game, so don't worry about it. But Vandy has done everything, and I get it, they have two losses, but it's not like their two losses are to teams outside the top 25. They have two losses against two very good teams. I'm not sure why it's costing them – this much, and it doesn't cost another team the same amount.
Willie, the CFP committee chairman, Hunter Yurecek, tied himself in knots last night attempting to explain the committee's decisions, not just on Vanderbilt, but on other teams. But a couple of things Yurecek said about Vanderbilt, and I referenced one with Clark Lee. He was asked, Yurecek that is, was asked why Vanderbilt at 10-2 is ranked so far below other 10-2 teams and even below a 9-3 Texas team, despite the fact that Texas beat Vanderbilt, but I understand. And Hunter Yurecek said, when you look at their schedule, now that Tennessee is no longer ranked, they just don't have a signature win. That's a quote. Why is Tennessee out of the rankings? Because Vanderbilt went to Neyland Stadium and beat their asses. That's why they don't have a signature win anymore. And I don't think that Vanderbilt should be penalized for that. The other thing as well, Rex Rode asked this question because earlier, Yurecek gave Alabama credit for going on the road and beating Auburn. But why wasn't he giving Vanderbilt credit for going on the road in a rivalry game and beating Tennessee? And Vanderbilt's win against Tennessee was bigger than Alabama's win against Auburn. And he talked about other things happening around Vanderbilt, like Texas beating Texas A&M. He mentioned Miami getting a win at Pittsburgh. Tennessee was ranked higher than Pittsburgh in the CFP poll last week. It makes zero sense to me. None.
Look, that quote you just read. I'm just glad I didn't see it live. I would have started throwing stuff if I saw it.
Well, that wasn't on TV. That was on the conference call afterwards.
That quote you just read, which Joe put in his article for The Athletic, that is the dumbest thing that I have ever heard from a chair. And I've heard chairs get in tough spots, right? It's a tough spot. You get asked tough questions. No matter what you do, you're going to leave a couple of teams out that feel like they are going to be screwed. They don't want to hear what you have to say no matter what. But that logic makes zero sense. And Hunter Yurecek, you know where he got his start? Vanderbilt. He was an assistant athletic director at Vanderbilt before getting to where he is now. Does he think people at Vanderbilt aren't going to think that's the dumbest thing that's ever been said by a committee chair?
They don't care, Willie.
Now that Tennessee is no longer ranked, they just don't have a signature win. So that were they supposed to lose that game so Tennessee could be higher ranked, so they could play him again, so that they could beat him and Tennessee might still be in the rankings? It makes zero sense. We made this point yesterday. Look at the teams that Tennessee lost to. They lost four games, all to teams that are playoff caliber teams. LSU lost five games, all of them, to playoff caliber teams. Missouri lost four games, all to playoff caliber teams. There's no logic when you say there's no signature wins, and that doesn't even take into account when they beat them, when they were ranked, when they were still in the hunt, those teams. So it is convenient. They were looking for reasons to move Vanderbilt off of the chart so they didn't have to worry about it. So they were justifying it, and while they did that, they put their foot in their mouths, they contradict themselves, and they sound like idiots. So Hunter Yurecek, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in print. Now that Tennessee is no longer ranked, they just don't have a signature win. So that game, Hunter Yurecek was at Vanderbilt. He knows the rivalry and how big it is when Vanderbilt plays Tennessee at Tennessee and whips them. And that's not a signature win? My butt.
That's the most fired up I've seen Willie in a long time. 615-737.
I'm South Florida. It's very nice weather here. I can calm back down now. Thank you. Yes. I'm outside on the deck.
Just during the break, just look outside, look at the ocean, hear the crashing waves, center yourself.
Woosah.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction coming up next. A fired up Willie Donick. I love it. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Jonathan Hutton will join us at the top of the hour. Silly Underdog Picks Conference Championship Edition coming up at 5:20, I'll let you know shortly what the prize is if you represent the people in Silly Underdog Picks. One texter says, Coach Willie may be banned, but I'm loving Mama Bear Willie.
It's Papa Bear.
We'll go with Papa Bear Willie.
Yeah, we'll go Papa Bear
Either Willie. Way, I love when Willie gets fired up. Let's go to Michael on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Michael, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring up a couple other points, and you guys may have pointed out some of these already. I just jumped in the car, and Willie had me fired up, so I wanted to jump on and keep the fire going.
That's the spirit.
You know, Vanderbilt had a couple of other wins in the top 10 or 11 that are disregarded now as not being a top SRO win, with Missouri, South Carolina, and LSU were all ranked in the top, 15 at the time of their wins. And I don't know why those get disregarded with the committee with the beating of those teams. It seems like you would get the credit or the weighing of those at the time of victory as well.
Thank you for the call, Michael. And to Michael's point, if you're looking at the matchups at the time they were played, Vanderbilt is 4-2 against ranked opponents. But if you're taking the Hunter Yurecek method, the Commodores are 0-2 against current CFP top 25 teams now that Tennessee has fallen out. And why is Tennessee fallen out? We know why.
But it's convenient. Who ranks the teams? It's a rigged system. Right? Oh, we can make Vanderbilt 0-2 if we just put Tennessee out of the rankings. Oh, problem solved. Right? It should be the committee's choice. It's one thing if an AP voter is sitting there filling out his top 25 and says, oh, Vanderbilt, no wins against ranked opponents. Yeah, let's put them at 14. That's one thing. But this committee is supposed to know everything. They're supposed to be charged with every team who's in contention, the ebb and flow of their season, who did you beat, what was at stake at the time, where was the game. They need to know all of that. So Hunter Yurecek is basically trying to float that by everybody, that quote, no signature win, as if he just showed up that day and looked at a set of numbers. Oh, Vanderbilt 0-2 versus top 25. Oh, no signature wins. Let's move them out. Problem solved. But that's the committee chair right there. He's supposed to know all of what the caller just pointed out, that when Vanderbilt beat these teams, everything was on the line for both Vanderbilt and for LSU, for both Vanderbilt and for Missouri, that all four of those wins, two of them at home, two of them on the road. In Hunter Yurecek's quote right there, he has disregarded all four of those wins as if they were just nothing. Nothing.
Well, they know there's something. They're just not counting them for them. That's what it is. I mean,
right.
They're telling you.
It makes their job easy.
We know exactly what their schedule was. We know exactly who they play. We just don't care. Plain and simple. I don't know how many times they got to say it without saying it. They do not care about Vanderbilt and their season this year. If they have the same season the next year, I think then that's when it will matter.
Again, that quote from Hunter Yurecek, the CFP committee chair.
The dumbest quote ever by a committee chair in the college basketball, college baseball, women's basketball. I have watched the committee chair answer a lot of questions. I've seen them be put in tough spots. This is the dumbest quote I have ever seen. Go ahead, Adam.
Quote, the committee has a great deal of respect for Vanderbilt and what they have achieved. An amazing season, a 10-win season. When you look at their schedule, now that Tennessee is no longer ranked, they just don't have a signature win. They've got wins against LSU, Missouri, and Tennessee. Missouri and Tennessee were previously ranked in our poll. They are no longer ranked in our poll. He then later goes on to say, I think it's just lacking that signature win or two that teams like a Texas and a Miami, Utah, teams above them have.
So the logic of that is you are penalized for knocking a team out of the top 25. So a win that knocks a team out of the top 25 takes away a signature win.
Well,
because
only,
it knocked them out of the top 25.
Only in Vanderbilt's case.
Only in Vanderbilt's case.
Only in Vanderbilt's case, not in everybody else's case.
So do we need to eliminate automatic bids in this tournament, which means we probably eliminate conference championships?
I don't think you should.
That should be discussed.
No, I think there is something.
The best 12 at large.
No, there is something, again, because that's like, you know, winning the AFC South, or there's something to win an AFC South. It's, you won, so you there's an automatic bid to the playoffs when you win AFC South or the AFC North or the NFC South. So I don't think they should take that away. That there's other things that they may have to do. Go back to the computer system, because now you're not relying on biases. You're just relying on a computer ranking everybody based upon, you know, the teams they played, strength of schedule, and everything else. But because that method didn't seem to work when there was two or four teams, now they seem like they completely thrown it out, and they're using more so of these things that they're, I'm not saying they're making them up, but they're just changing them each and every week. It's not like they're making things up. They're not. What they're doing is they're just using them for some teams, and they're using them, and they're not using them for others. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, it is all a bait and switch. And again, the week-to-week thing. This is my biggest thing. I asked this to Clark Lee, if you missed it at the top of the hour. I think that the committee should only meet this week. They shouldn't have this week-to-week showcase of whatever that means nothing. But what it does is it sets them behind the eight ball. It makes it harder for teams to move their way in if it's not obvious. And they would have been embarrassed by all of a sudden reading Vanderbilt's information. So, you know what? We've probably undersold these guys. And yeah, that's a good win against Tennessee. Let's move them up. If they would have done that, they probably would have faced even more questions. So they took the easy road and just said, and they made up a bunch of baloney that they don't have a signature win. Hunter Yurecek was at Vanderbilt. He knows what it's like, how tough it is to win at Tennessee. It's not a signature win. That's an insult to Tennessee. 100,000 fans against a Tennessee team that was ranked and had only lost to other playoff-caliber teams. That's absolutely no logic to just blow that off and say no signature wins. They beat LSU. LSU, they were number 10. LSU is a powerhouse program. That's not a signature win? Come on. Come up with something better at least.
What's his name again, Willie?
Hunter Yurecek.
By the way, Willie, if it makes you feel better, Alan from Nashville says, a lot of Razorbacks fans want Yurecek out as Arkansas AD. So, Alan says, who's from Little Rock, Alan says that Razorbacks fans don't even like Hunter Yurecek. So that's something to take into consideration. Mike on our text line says, if it is a 12-team playoff, the top 12 ranked teams in the final poll are in. No more patting a small school on the head saying you belong. I was glad to hear Clark say that. And look, I love that aspect of the men's basketball tournament. There are 68 teams in the men's basketball tournament. So you need to find the so-called little guys in the men's basketball tournament. So many great stories. I don't think you need that in the college football playoff. Because what are the chances? I don't know what group of five team is going to make it. JMU, North Texas,
Tulane.
Tulane. I don't know. Do you think any of those teams has a chance against whichever team is the fifth-ranked team in the playoff? No. Like, there are at least upsets in college basketball. So, I know, Willie, you've got a soft spot for the little guy, too.
I do.
I don't think we need the little guys in the college football playoff. I don't think we need them.
Again, it works in basketball. It's hard to consistently work in football.
By the way, the conference champ number five, as it's listed, the 12th seed at the moment, would be facing Oregon. Do you think Tulane or JMU has a snowball's chance in hell of going to Oregon and winning? No! So leave them out.
It's unlikely, but you know, would you have said that when, who was it that beat Duke a few years ago? Was it Lehigh?
Why are you doing this to me? Why are we talking about this?
You have to. But give the little schools that's the
fun
ability.
Of it. That's the fun of it.
But
give them a chance. Give them a chance, and you might have it right. So I have been the guy over the years. I don't want to be a hypocrite about it. I do think you want everybody who plays in that division, if they are truly in that division, to have a chance to compete for the national championship. So I'm okay with that. And I think probably in a few more years, you're going to weed those teams out, and it's going to be – that division is going to be divided up.
But I just wonder – I just wonder how many – like, because, look, it's different, of course, different sports. But how many 16-1, 15-2 type of upsets we see in college basketball. And we have seen those.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how many of those we've seen in college football, like, in the regular season. Like, if you were
not
doing
–
not many. So – the chances for an upset are incredibly slim. So I'm okay with sending off the group of five to do its own thing. I'm fine with that. If it means that teams that are deserving, again, like I said, because I'm putting my bias aside for this moment. The fact that Duke is still technically alive in this at 7-5, Duke lost to UConn in football, okay? Duke should not be technically alive and Vanderbilt out. It shouldn't happen, and that's me.
Hey, one of the nerds got to get in. I mean, come on, Duke, let him in.
Oh, man. Let's quickly go to Trey on our phone line. Trey, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, I just want to say I feel bad for Coach Lee and his program. I've been following this the first year. I followed him a little bit last year, but this year is the first year that I've written. I think it's a scam. I think that they didn't believe in Vanderbilt. And then when Vanderbilt started winning, they was like, oh, God, Vanderbilt's winning. What are we going to do? Then when they started knocking them teams down, they had to drop them in the polls to keep them out of the playoffs. I believe there's a scam with Mr. Willie. You're right. It's biased. They need to go back to the computer. And I just feel bad for Coach Lee. Because they're basically stopping Vanderbilt history. Because when Vanderbilt started making history with this team, everybody knew it. And now they're just going to stop it all of a sudden. That's bad. And I love you guys. And y'all have a good night.
Thanks Trey. Quickly.
I mean, listen, it's unfortunate. I don't feel bad for Clark Lee in the season. I think they had a tremendous season, and there's nothing to hang your hat. I mean, there's nothing to hang your head down on based upon that, because they had a season, and Clark said they had a season that they believe will catapult this or program moving forward. So I don't feel bad for Clark Lee from that standpoint, because I think, yeah, you may not have won the battle, because the battle was this year, but you're setting your team up for the war. And I think ultimately that's what you got to understand. But I do, it is disappointing to know that, you know, you did something that not many people thought you were going to do outside of the people in your locker room. And you beat teams when you needed to beat them. Did you lose two games? Yes, you did. But those were very good teams. One of them is in the college football playoffs. But the season as a whole, I mean, this was tremendous for the program moving forward. But I am disappointed that the way it's looking, they will not get a spot in the college football playoffs.
615-737-1025. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow will join us coming up next. We'll ask Jonathan Hutton how he feels about Hunter Yurecek, because we know how Willie does. So we'll talk about all of this with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.